Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 14th of October, recording at 3:07 p.m. British Summer Time, much, much earlier than usual. And I will be in over the weekend, incidentally, and I may post some more material on the site. But now, first, a few highlights. Well, you know all about it. It's been pretty much of a downdraft in stock markets recently. A little bit of a rally in here today by stocks and bonds, at least in Europe and Wall Street at the moment. And elsewhere, the dollar firm had a look at that 90 level on the dollar index. Precious metals catching some of the profit taking that we have seen in other areas, as have the petroleum contracts, and it's not entirely unrelated to the shakeout that we've seen elsewhere, as I've indicated previously and will refer to again during this broadcast. But first, in terms of the big picture long-term outlook, I have been emphasizing that there were a lot of problems for stock markets, and fortunately this sell-off will come as no great shock to people who've been reading Comment of the Day, particularly at the beginning of the month when the warnings were being issued, all the emphasis on the importance of those August lows as an initial support level that could affect sentiment were they to be taken out on Wall Street and other stock market indices around the globe. And of course, the audio has made plenty of references to the some of the Indian rope tricks we were seeing, not only in India, of course, but in many emerging markets around the globe. So we've been, no one can be terribly surprised by what we've actually seen here recently, but nevertheless, there's always a considerable shock when the event actually takes place, because one becomes so accustomed to the type of very, very small little pullbacks. There's markets sagging back lightly and then running on the upside once again. So when the sentiment changes, it always comes as a bit of a shock. But okay, where are we? Well, again, my view of the Wall Street secular bear market, and I've written about that again today. The more important point to mention here at this stage is the leash effect influence. We certainly did see markets surge up very dramatically in not least in the last few months. That leaves them susceptible very much to a medium-term correction, and this has all the looks or all the look of a medium-term correction about it. Now, how far might it go? Well, I don't want to underestimate the risks in here, and I don't want to overstate them either, obviously. But we have the problems of the rising interest rates, the weaker bond markets that we have seen quite recently. There's a lot here to worry investors. The inflation talk that we were seeing, I've mentioned over and over and over again that the global stock market rally was long in the tooth. On the other hand, we are moving into a period that's seasonally very, very favorable, and it'll be interesting to see how that actually plays out. My view that I've said that I didn't think we would get through 2006, and say that again, my view that we would not get through 2006 without seeing a major stock market correction. And that's probably still the case. Are we getting the softening up here right now, or have we gone into the correction proper? My guess is that it's more of a softening up phase here first. But bottom line here, what we do need to see is a clear upward dynamic or two coming from Wall Street to indicate that we are near the end of this, or at the end of this selling squall. Now, I mentioned in yesterday's audio, you can go right back and look at the charts in the subscribers chart library at other previous reaction lows this year, last year, so on, and see exactly what they look like in terms of upward dynamics. We need to see some clear evidence of demand coming in excess of supply, and that has not happened yet, needless to say. Yes, we've got short-term oversold conditions, but until we get the upward dynamics, I'm going to assume that markets are going to see a further retracement of recent gains. Now, people who moved quickly, you know the old saying, if you're going to panic early, will have taken some profits very clearly. And the pullbacks that are occurring, I feel, will create or are creating additional buying opportunities. Now, where might those opportunities be, and when is it safe to start moving back in? Well, the safest time to start moving back in is after we've seen the upward dynamics on Wall Street, and we'll know within a period of a few days or not whether we have some real technical evidence of another medium-term low. And in the meantime, again, as I say, we can expect further erosion in other markets. But the areas that I do like, obviously, are the secular bull market areas among developed markets. My favorites would be would certainly remain Japan and South Korea. And among emerging markets, India is my top favorite market of all for the very long term. But you know, it got very overextended. We're now seeing the corrective phase. And the more this comes back, the more I will like India in terms of feeling that it's coming back into an attractive area to reaccumulate once again, or to increase positions, which would be what I will be doing. The resources sector, I like that a lot, as you know. Secular bull market in the resources sector, and I would not have any reservations about going in and increasing positions in that sector again once we see an all clear signal in terms of some upward dynamics on Wall Street. So I'm going to put a lot of emphasis on Wall Street. Will Japan uncouple? Will some markets hold up better than Wall Street? Well, Japan, I think if any market's going to hold up better than Wall Street, it's likely to be Japan. South Korea would be my second choice to actually do that. Emerging markets, once sentiment changes, the stampede in can lead to a temporary stampede out, so they could underperform. But you know, the leash effect still applies. Read what Christopher Wood said about the U.S. investment in mutual funds around the world. They've in the last many months, they've been putting much more money. Americans have been putting much more money overseas. Smart move, absolutely right. But they were also in the latter stages of that diversification, portfolio diversification. They were also chasing some trends, as Barron's and others have pointed out. Now, the leash effect is never really going to be broken, in my view, not only because of the influence and importance of the U.S. economy in terms of global GDP growth, but also because of the money that spreads out from the United States and also from Europe. And Europe pretty well tracks Wall Street, as you know. And if Americans start to take fright, and then they start to pull some money home, and that tends to lead to reactions in all the other markets elsewhere. Europeans then start to pull some money back home. And that's the process that we have been seeing here recently, is that people cash up. They are moving from a high level of risk tolerance, in other words, no risk appeared too great, to a reassessment of that view, and are becoming more risk averse. So they're nailing down positions, booking profits, or cutting losses in stock markets. They are also coming out of some of the resources that had been doing extremely well, and that's even affecting markets such as gold. Now, gold is slipping a little further in here today. That did have that key day reversal on Wednesday, I believe, within a fairly choppy ranging pattern. I don't think there's anything too alarming about that. But again, if people are risk averse, they're going to nail down profits where they have them and pull money out of positions, other positions that that concern them, just as I say, to raise a bit more cash. My feeling is that this will certainly create a buying opportunity, is creating a buying opportunity. I think gold is easing back towards a buying range. Anything near 460, I would say, is in a buying range, and I have buy orders under the market for silver, which is my preferred vehicle, although I also hold a lot of gold. But again, while the US stock market remains under pressure, we do have the possibility of some further reactions in precious metals and a number of other commodities that have soared recently. Conversely, some of the markets that had been knocked much lower, or more knocked sharply lower. I'm thinking of soybeans. I'm thinking of cocoa. I'm thinking of coffee as a couple of examples where there would have been some large short positions and where medium-term downward trends had occurred. We've seen some upward dynamics in the last few days, indicating that again, risk aversion, the people who are running those positions are taking some profits and standing aside. That's the overall effect, and that's been helping, I think, to drive up the US dollar a little bit. So that's the main environment that we see here right now. So how to play it? Well, I have a little bit of a hedge short in the German DAX index to protect the investments in equities that I don't want to trade around that are in my pension portfolios and my ISA accounts. And I don't have any leverage to speak of in stock markets, so I'm not worried too much about that. I do have quite a bit of exposure to the precious metals sector in terms of futures contracts, and that's of some short-term concern, but I think the overall patterns are sufficiently favorable that I'm willing to ride out these setbacks at the moment. In terms of currencies, there's nothing that I want to do at this stage. The dollar, I think, is near the higher side of its overall range, but the growing perception, with which I agree, is that there aren't any really, really attractive currencies. The best of the lot are the resources currencies in my view in this environment because of the secular bull market in resources. But you know what happens, they do extremely well, as we saw last year and earlier this year with the Australian dollar and more recently with the Canadian dollar. And then we either get some bleating from corporate types, politicians, and if we then start to get some concern expressed by central banks, then we're in a dangerous phase as far as those currencies are concerned, and that leads to some inevitable profit taking and sharp reactions. But I think that we aren't going to see anywhere near the drama in the currency markets that we will see in the stock markets and bond markets. And I realized I'd skipped over bond markets in this audio at this stage. Maybe they will rally a little bit here as if the stock market correction carries a bit further, and there's no evidence that the stock market correction won't carry a bit further. But and we won't have that evidence till we get the upward dynamics that I was emphasizing so much. But the bond market outlook is not attractive, and I think people are increasingly realizing that you really do have to think in terms of a major, major global recession like government bonds at these yields. And I'm more of the view that we're going to see in the European economies, in the US, that we'll see moderate growth overall, and then we'll see periods of stagflation, and there'll be a considerable amount of concern expressed, but that's not really a healthy environment overall for government bonds. Yields are just simply too low, and there's too much supply around. And I've emphasized in the last few years that central banks are certainly going to err on the side of monetary easing, therefore err on the side of inflation rather than deflation. That doesn't mean that there won't be deflationary pockets, and I've talked about those plenty, and we know all about those. Suffice it to say, the countries continue to borrow, central banks continue to print. There's a lot of liquidity sloshing around the system. They don't want inflation to take off. They'll take some moderate steps towards controlling inflation, but the moment you get stock markets looking like they're in the throes of a serious sell-off, the moment you get some evidence suggesting that we might have an important potential downturn in GDP growth, and then they'll start to cut interest rates again and ease. I really would expect this pattern to continue over a period of many, many years, when the term stagflation will become a lot more familiar or be heard much more frequently than it has been over the last few years. So it's not a good environment for government bonds, which I do not wish to own, and I only want to sell them after rallies. We've seen a sell-off in government bonds recently, so there is some scope for technical rallies, but only in the form of further top formation development overall. Resources, I've already covered them here. Many of them, such as the some of the industrial metals are in long consolidations. Nickel's a key one to watch there. Nickel has been underperforming the others recently, and that may indicate that in this environment of where people are becoming a bit less, they're becoming more risk averse, I should say. Some of the higher flying metals, such as copper, could easily come under a bit further selling pressure. In terms of an across-the-boards move on the upside in industrial metals, I don't expect to see it until we see some clear upward dynamics in nickel, indicating that its correction has bottomed. We're not quite there yet, although we're perhaps not all that far away, and certainly nickel coming back towards the $10,000 level begins to look extremely, extremely interesting. And precious metals, again, certainly correcting here as people nail down some profits. Again, people are becoming a little bit more risk averse, but I've already covered this. Gold, spot gold is at 466.50 as I speak. Anything in the 460 region, let alone lower, I think is an attractive, very attractive buying opportunity. And this is a secular bull market that has only just entered its second psychological perception stage, as I've been mentioning in recent broadcasts and written copy on the website. Last but not least, the oil markets, where we're seeing a medium-term correction overall, yet we do still have this backwardation that I mentioned earlier in the week, which is holding in crude. So that suggests to me that we don't have as much downside risk as some people are suggesting, and forecasts of $50-$40 oil are increasing, inevitably in line with the correction. The backwardation, certainly while this backwardation persists, I think any extreme sell-off in crude oil is most unlikely, and that we're probably closer to the lower side of the range we're going to see over the next few months than the upper side of the range. I'm speaking with the crude NYME at 61.75 in here today. And lastly, natural gas slipping back a little bit further in here. Again, medium-term correction is quite likely, but I would not be the least bit surprised to see the highs retested before the quite possibly before the end of the year, and I would think also in the first quarter of the of the new year, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if we don't see further strength in crude during that period as well. Okay, folks, that's pretty much it, but as I said, I will be in the office on over the weekend, and I might post something additional on the site then. Otherwise, have a splendid weekend.